We'll call the Commerce Committee to order. It's Monday, January, or March 4th, 2013. We have one bill on the agenda this afternoon, school employees' health insurance pooling bill, I believe, and it's Senate Bill 446, Senator Dibble. Welcome to the committee. We have a senators, we have about 25 people who wish to speak on this bill, so it is we'll probably have to kind of move along. So with that, Senator Dibble, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And Mr. Chair, would you like to start with my author's amendment, the A6?
You could start out, Senator Dibble, explaining the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A6 amendment changes a little bit of language on the designation of the governance or oversight committee that would be developed to help with the oversight of the PEEP plan. Just the language to AFSCME Local 65 and Local 5 will figure out which among their representatives would be named to that committee. So we take out designating that representative comes from Local Council 5. And then the second part is language that we've had in the past, which would allow for if there are any startup expenses beyond that, which might be able to be loaned from the existing reserves in the PEEP, a loan could be made from the statewide employees' health plan, and that loan would be repaid with interest. So it provides for possible startup funding expenses that would then be repaid.
Senator, but to be clear, this is going to some of these issues will have to go to other committees. So we do know that. Is that correct? So
yes, Mr. Chair.
Any questions on the A6 amendment? Senator Dahl moves the A6 amendment. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Do you have more amendments to the author at this time?
No, Mr. Chair.
Next one.
Senator Jensen.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Senator Dibble, would you be willing to have to making this a voluntary program with an oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Jensen, yeah, I understand that's an interest of yours. Some folks have spoken, I'm not crazy about that idea, but absolutely willing to entertain it, particularly if it gains your love and admiration for this bill. Or your vote.
Yeah, that could certainly be a possibility later in the discussion. I think we want to hear probably from the witnesses today.
Okay. Thank you.
How about other? Should we take amendments? Did you want to visit a little bit more about the bill?
Oh, sure, Mr. Chair. I'll be very quick. It's a fairly straightforward bill. We bring Senate File 446 before you. This, of course, is an idea that is not new. It's been in the legislature at least three other times, including another time that I had it. We passed it and got it all the way to the governor's desk, obviously. Need the consent of a governor as well to pass bills into law. Had a different governor at that time. Very quickly, the problem that we're trying to solve, Mr. Chair, is the fact that health care costs, health insurance costs have gone up fairly dramatically over recent years. Coverage at the same time has eroded, and employees have had to pay ever more out-of-pocket expense. We're going to hear more from some folks about how dramatic that has been in a lot of instances, so I won't go into great detail. A number of years ago, probably a little less than 10 years ago, a large study was commissioned, and sitting on that oversight committee were representatives from school districts and teachers and school employees and the like, and determined that if we were able to pull folks into a large statewide pool such as this, tremendous cost savings while maintaining very good benefits could be realized. And then a couple of years ago, that study was updated in the form of a local impact note. And if we're able to pull school employees on a statewide basis together into a common health insurance program, I won't say a plan because it's the number of plans that would exist within this program, the savings would be rather dramatic while maintaining a minimum threshold, really, really good benefits, upwards of 40-some million dollars per year, almost $90 million per biennium. And that was a very conservative measure. So, Mr. Chair and members, Senate File 446 would accomplish that goal. It would put most school districts' employees into what we call the PEEP, the Public Employees Insurance Plan, which is modeled, of course, on CGIP, the State Employees Group Insurance Plan that we all benefit from. And it's almost the same identical plan. Presently has three providers, touches almost every network within Minnesota, with three different cost levels within that plan. It would establish an oversight committee that would work with the commissioner on the plan design on an ongoing basis. It would allow for, in some instances, those school districts that are self-insured to opt out. So there's a lot of concern about whether or not that opt-out provision for the self-insured plans would not be maintained in this proposal. I'm strongly supportive of that opt-out measure for the self-insureds, and this bill won't be changed. I know that there's some concern in the room here, so I wanted to send that signal very, very clearly. So, Mr. Chair and members, that's the very, very high-level overview of the bill. I can dive into more detail at this point or later on during the discussion if you like. We have a number of testifiers, including a few folks who would like to get up and talk about their experience with insurance and their co-pays.
I think agreeable with the committee, we'll get right into the testifiers. I have 23 listed, so I think we'll do
right.
that. Jan Alzweiger, do you want to be first?
I'll call on my folks just so they know to get queued up. I'll just read their names so they know what order they're going to jump up in. We have Julie Blaha from Anoka Hennepin, Tim Edinger from Brainerd, Andy Nelson from Malacca, Matthew Wilms from Lewiston Altura, and Tom Pearson from Duluth.
Yeah, I think that's
and we'll
a
have
good
Jan
idea.
Alzweiger and Gary Westorf who will be available to testify and be a resource. They're from Edmond.
Okay, that's a good idea. You could be introducing them, Senator. Yes.
Julie Blaha.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair Metzen, members of the committee. My name is Julie Blaha. I'm a middle school math teacher on leave to serve as president of Anoka Hennepin Education Minnesota, the teachers union for our state's largest school district. Now, the support the teachers in our district have had for a statewide health insurance pool, frankly, we support it since the idea was first introduced, was brought into sharp focus last month. We found out that our health insurance rates are projected to increase between 16 and 19% next year. Now, this jump was precipitated by just five large claims, over $450,000. Now, our district is doing everything we can. We have almost 5,000 people in our pool. Our benefit staff do a very good job of managing our self-insured plan. We're working our wellness programs. I mean, I've lost 30 pounds since I've started at Jackson. I'm running 5Ks. We are really doing, frankly, everything we can, and we are running out of options to protect a benefit our educators value dearly. Now, our members don't expect this to be some silver bullet that's going to cut rates dramatically. We realize that we may even have to see some plan changes or some short-term increases over what we may have had otherwise. But we do realize that a large pool like this long-term is a way to stabilize our rates, improve our ability to negotiate with insurers as a group, and ultimately free up funds that we can use to benefit our students. So if even a very large district like Anoka Hennepin is subject to this kind of volatility, I think it's clear that we need a better option. So we hope that you will support this bill.
Thank you very much.
So if I could call up Tim Ettinger and Andy Nelson.
Hi, Chair Metzen and members of the Commerce Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you on behalf of Senate File 446. My name is Tim Ettinger. I live in Nisswa. I am president of our teacher professional organization, EMB. I've been a public school teacher in Minnesota for 26 years and a health insurance advocate for the last 18. ISD 181 has experienced dramatic peaks and valleys in annual premium increases ranging from 0 to 24% in a single year over the last 17 years or so. During 1 4-year stretch, our premiums rose nearly 100%. We believe long-term stability, predictability in health insurance premiums will be achieved via participation in a larger insurance pool. According to our new health insurance provider, Medica, we have one of the finest member stewardship education plans they've seen and the best resultant member behavioral change they've ever witnessed in regards to emergency room utilization. This is the direct result of the hard work and informed perspective of our Employee Benefits Committee. While these stewardship efforts and the combined premium contributions of ISD 181 and the members have resulted in sound health insurance pool reserves, the employees whose premiums and stewardship have significantly contributed to these pool reserves have no control over financial decisions such as setting annual premium increases. Fiduciary control of the health insurance pool rests solely with the school board, and they have made the choice to act contrary to administrative and employee benefit committee recommendations on several occasions in recent years. We are left feeling like local control has meant our stewardship efforts are not guaranteed to directly impact our health insurance benefit management. Even though we feel like employees and management of ISD 181 are likely better able to make informed decisions in managing our self-insured health insurance benefit, we are not health insurance experts. This was evidenced in the last round of contract negotiations when administration and EMB agreed to a change in prescription copays specifically to influence one issue with utilization. Due to a less than complete understanding between Medica, the school district, and the members, a negative impact was placed on a much broader category of the membership according to prescription drug coverage. This scenario took months of effort to rectify and cost both employees and the health insurance pool financial resources. We believe that health insurance pool management can be better understood and undertaken by a state labor management committee. In the last two rounds of collective bargaining, we've spent considerable time, many months, attempting to bargain major plan design specifics, such as an attempt to create a mutually agreeable VBA plan offering. These discussions went nowhere. EMB believes that contract negotiations would be expedited if health insurance plan design were removed from the bargaining table. Finally, we believe previous actuarial studies and recent fiscal reports developed by Minnesota Management and Budget have shown significant savings for school districts across the state via mandatory participation in a statewide health insurance plan for all public school employees. EMB believes these savings could positively impact student learning opportunities in E-12 public education.
Senator Kozelka, did you have a question for Mr. Ettinger?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ettinger, how's fishing,
Senator Kozelka.
How's fishing up there anyway?
Real good, as long as the ice holds with
are
us.
Are you on Middle Cullen?
I am not on Middle Cullen, but I was snowmobiling on Middle Cullen a week ago.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your input, Mr. Ettinger, and I sent out a letter to all my school districts, and then Brainerd District 181 is no longer in my area, but I did get a chance to talk to Superintendent Rosillo and the school board there, and they want the option. They don't want to be forced into this, and they have looked at PEEP in the past and elected locally that it was not in the best interest of the school board there. And I'm just wondering why you want to get rid of local control There's going to be some testifiers later that are going to identify that the savings are not exactly what people think it's going to be. And why would we remove local control and allowing our school boards to make decisions like this one?
Well, I think employees and who via their stewardship and via their share of premium contributions are contributing to the health of the health insurance pool feel like they have little or no involvement, engagement, or say in decisions that are made. And when you feel like you have no control in those decisions, and it's adversely affecting the health of the benefit, if you will. It was just 15 short years ago, I believe, that Brainerd's health insurance pool was on the verge of bankruptcy. In order to come out of that bankruptcy, we had to agree to significantly less health insurance benefits and substantially higher costs. And that was just 15 years ago. So when you ask why the employees might be interested in a larger pool with more stability, our memory dates back 15 years. And then again, just recently, within the last 5 years, the school board has chosen to go against administrative and employee benefit committee recommendations on premium increases. So I think those two facts influence our decision to want to seek a different avenue for health insurance.
Senator Kosoko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the reason I bring it up is because there's a finite number of dollars, and my concern is if this is taken out of the collective bargaining, in the end, we may not have enough money to actually get into the classrooms, and that's a concern for me. I think that it should be part of the collective bargaining and not removed.
Okay, next witness.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Ettinger, I do have a question for you before you go. You were referring to your participation in the premiums. Can you tell me what of the employee share for the individual working for the school district, how much you pay of the employee share, and then how much you'd pay if you had your family members on the plan, what percent of that you would pay? Can you tell me that?
I certainly can. For our single plan, well, we have several different plans. Our base benefit is based off of what we call Plan B. That's 95% paid by the employer, 5% by the employee for single coverage, 80% paid by the district, 20% paid by the employee for the family coverage.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have Andy Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to share my story today. My name is Andrew Nelson. I'm director of bands at Mille Lacs High School. In District 912, the Mille Lacs Public Schools, we have experienced a health insurance crisis, and I have experienced painful and expensive elements of this process personally. I came to the Mille Lacs Public Schools from Red Wing. I am from central Minnesota, and I have always wanted to live and teach in this area. I'm finishing my 10th year as director of bands at Mille Lacs High School, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to teach band in this community. And it's not written here, but I'm also very thankful for the walleye fishing. I signed my contract with enthusiasm. The health insurance numbers in Mille Lacs look similar to the benefits I'd had in Red Wing. I was shocked after signing my contract that I got the numbers for insurance cost backwards. The amount a teacher pays for family health insurance in Mille Lacs and the amount the district pays were essentially opposite of what I'd had in Red Wing. That seemed impossible. With my wife self-employed and expecting our second child, I had no choice but to pay $900 a month out of pocket for family health insurance. Senator Dobbs, in our district, we only get the single coverage. There is no additional coverage for family. With my wife, the solution was simple. I was told by other staff members, buy a policy outside of the district for your wife and kids. I researched it, I had it lined up, and then my daughter was born with a club foot. I then discovered that no insurance would cover my baby girl's needs without a waiver. I was forced into the district coverage. In my 10 years at Mille Lacs, family premiums have skyrocketed to over $1,500 a month out of pocket and have recently settled back to a less angry about $1,300 a month. My wife has then since found employment, and I've escaped the district policy through her benefits at a company of 10 employees where she pays one-third the cost of Mille Lacs family insurance. Other teachers aren't so fortunate. We have teachers with no other options, who pay nearly half of their take-home salary for health insurance premiums. Again, I say they pay nearly half of their take-home salary to insurance premiums. We have had teachers in our district qualify for Minnesota Care. They have qualified due to large increases in premiums in a one-year period. Our premiums are subject to large changes, positive and negative. A few years ago, we had 12 major medical issues in our employee base of around 120 teachers, and our rates jumped 51%. In Malacca, a diagnosis of cancer comes with sickness, financial worries, and a sense of guilt. I have 7 years of college with a master's degree. Why should I have to worry so much about how to get health care for my children? Why should a teacher with cancer have to worry about paying for care? How are we to attract young teachers in Malacca? Yeah. There are other school districts with larger numbers of employees who do not have the risk that we do because of our small employee base. In Malacca, over the years, we've had to take a downgrade in our insurance packages because it's all we can afford. I ask that you consider the statewide coverage based on the stability in the rates that it might provide. We've run the gauntlet already. We've been self-insured. We belong to co-ops. We've had increases and decreases, but little stability. We are sitting on a yearly time bomb that is ready to explode as medical issues occur. When a young teacher enters the field, they shouldn't have to worry about having children because the insurance rates will create a financially impossible situation. We've had that happen in Malacca. I also encourage you to consider the inequities in school funding that frankly make it harder for rural Minnesota school districts to afford health care coverage. We are often forced to choose between offering competitive salaries and adequate benefit packages. Stability in insurance rates could help our cause long term. It seems logical that stability in insurance rates would benefit teachers and local school boards as they budget for the future. Mr. Chair and committee members, we're looking for stability and safety. We are hopeful that this plan could provide that in the long term.
Questions of Mr. Nelson. Mr. Kosalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Nelson, you're aware that the Minnesota Healthcare Exchange is moving forward, the ACA being implemented in Minnesota. One of the things that I'm concerned about, and I want your comments, if you are a low-income person or a part-time person, you, at least as I understand it, are going to be eligible for subsidies under Obamacare. But if you enroll these part-time people into PEEP, they're not going to be eligible for those subsidies. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are related to that. Are you aware of that? What are your comments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Go ahead if you have
questions. Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of the specifics of that program. We don't have a large number of our part-time employees who are enrolled in our insurance programs due to the cost.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Nelson, right now there's about 57,000 part-time people within the school systems in Minnesota, and they're all going to be rolled into this program with those costs, at least as I understand it, passed on to the school districts. And for that individual, where they perhaps would have been far better off being in the exchange, I'm just wondering, frankly, why we're moving ahead when we don't even know what the exchange is going to do for these folks. And then rolling all these people in doesn't make sense to me.
Governor Dibble, did you wish to take a shot at that?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure specifically about the question that Senator Gazelka is asking, and we might have some folks who can answer a little better later with some of the technical issues. But I do know that this issue of the exchange has come up, particularly when small employers are able to come into the exchange in 2017, and we've had conversations with folks at the agency and folks who are setting up the exchange, and we do know that, at least in that instance, this bill and the ability to bring those folks into the exchange, if they so choose, at that point, is not in conflict.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator
Dibble, it's not if they so choose. It's they're mandated to go in, and that's one of the major areas that we have a problem with is we're reducing competition. Even when the governor Dayton last year vetoed Senator Dame's bill where we wanted to put a moratorium on people going into PEEP, his comments were that we should be encouraging employees to seek competitive bids for their health care coverage. In other words, that was why he vetoed the last bill, but this time we're forcing people, and it's not a mandate.
Mr. Chair.
It is a mandate rather than an option.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, I can only use the information that I've been given from the agency, and what I understand to be the case is that state law can't preempt federal law. A, B, if you know, if we need to create some comfort language in the bill, we're certainly willing to do so. But responding to the veto message of the governor, there is competition within the PEEP. You know, we've got three different plans that that bid for the business, and employees have options within those plans, A, B. Not every system has gotten into the PEEP because they haven't written competitive business. Medica is not a part of PEEP or CGIP. Maybe they will be in the future if they're able to compete for the business, and we also have different cost levels as well. So there is competition, there is choice even within the PEEP. So, so that exists.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, so it's my understanding then that you feel the reason that this is going to save money is due to the fact that you're going to increase the size of the pool. Is that where you're going to have the savings?
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, it's not how I feel. It's what the Reed and Anders study shows us quite clearly in 2004, as updated by the local impact note, from a couple of years ago. Larger risk pool, larger ability to negotiate, with more folks, more stability, clearly the costs, there'll be tremendous cost savings realized. You know, if they're counting conservatively, up to $90 million every biennium, that's approaching $1 billion over the coming decade.
Senator Dibble, when you say they're projecting, who is the there? Who's projecting these savings?
Mr. Chair and members, this is based on the work that was originally done by the Reed and Anders study that was overseen by, a committee of folks representative of school stakeholders, and then updated from the local impact note that we got on the bill a couple of years ago at the Office of Management and Budget.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Dames.
Could you tell me, Senator Dibble, when this study was originally done and when the last update was?
The Reed and Anders study was done in 2004, and the update to it was done a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. I have it right here. We can share it with the committee if we like. 2010, it was updated.
Okay, we could make that available to. I think Senator Kasalka's might have something we have to look at a little bit deeper as we move forward. How that mixes with the Affordable Health Care Act. So, take a look at that, Senator Dibble. Let's stop. Okay, next witness. We're going to move along a little faster here.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Matthew Wilmes, and I live in Lewiston, a city in southeastern Minnesota. I teach music at Lewiston-Altura Public Schools. As a teacher in a small school district of fewer than 800 students, our health insurance has seen significant increases in the past many years because of the relatively few employees that take our district's health insurance. We are always able to anticipate increases in premiums of 15% or more each year. In order to keep our premiums from increasing dramatically, we started to see plans quoted with deductibles that range from $1,000 to $4,000 per person. And this trend forced teachers to decide to go without health insurance whatsoever. In the 2010-2011 school year, my local school district and my union began the process of looking into what it really costs for health insurance. We looked into total costs, and that included three portions. Not only premiums, but also deductibles and out-of-pocket maximums. In 2011, after much discussion, investigation, and deliberation, the teachers decided to jump into PEEP. We saw far better benefits for our premiums and far lower deductibles. The plan that I was on in 2010 had a $2,500 deductible with a monthly premium of $520. To me, that $2,500 seemed impossible to meet. I don't have $2,500. Because of that, I never went to the doctor. I know that it may seem penny-wise and pound-foolish to not go to the doctor for fear of having to pay that full deductible, but that was my reality. I don't have $2,500. I don't have the $4,000 that was quoted just to keep my premiums low. That financial reality was not unlike the financial reality of many of my colleagues. Today, 2 years later, and with PEEP, I have a $500 deductible. Although the monthly premium is higher than in 2010, with a significantly lower deductible, for the first time in my career, I feel comfortable going to the doctor. I can manage a $500 deductible. What used to seem impossible is now a realistic amount of money, and I'm happy we made the change, and my colleagues are happy that we made the change. PEEP has made health insurance usable, realistic, and affordable. In my experience, PEEP has been understandable and responsive. Colleagues that have not signed up for the school district's health insurance now want to jump into the PEEP pool. Statewide health insurance will provide the same benefits, cost savings, and usefulness as PEEP. If PEEP was able to offer an affordable solution on a small scale, imagine the possibilities for savings and stability the statewide solution would offer. A statewide plan would offer the stability and coverage for all school employees we sought and we found with PEEP. I support the statewide health insurance bill for school employees, for my colleagues, and for their families. And I encourage your support for the statewide health insurance, and I'm pleased to answer any of your questions, Mr. Chair.
Your next witness, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Pearson from Dibble.
Mr. Chair, Tom Pearson from Duluth, Minnesota, and I'm a member of our school district Health Insurance Labor Management Committee, and I'm just going to briefly speak about our experience with PEEP in the past 3 years. 3 years ago, our school district and employees changed course regarding our employee-sponsored insurance program. After facing renewal increases, and I believe you've heard the number of approximately 15% every year, for several years, we did decided to look at different options and alternatives. Our health insurance provider came to Duluth and told us our premium increase was going to be 15.8%. We indicated to them that we were looking at options and alternative bids. Within 1 week, they came back to Duluth and dropped the insurance premium by almost 10%. They reduced the cost to the district by approximately $2 million in 1 week. How could they do that if premiums were based on claims? After several months of meetings and examining the options, renewal bids, and many meetings with district employees to educate them on the unique plan design at PEEP, we switched to PEEP for all district employees. The resulting savings have been a great benefit to our district's general fund over the past two renewal years. In 2011, rather than seeing an increase of 15%, again, whether or not that's industry standard at the time, I'm not exactly sure, our insurance renewal with PEEP was negative 8% for our school district. In 2012, our renewal rate was a negative 5% for the school district of Duluth. These savings in premiums were not as a result of decreasing the benefits and passing the cost to employees. The benefit level did not change. In short, over the past 2 years, our district has saved several millions of dollars that now go directly to the classroom for kids. This is another example of how the plan design of PEEP could provide savings to school districts all over the state of Minnesota. These savings have even been more significant as our district, as many districts, or all districts, in my opinion, have faced budget reductions in the area in Duluth in particular of $3 to $4 million per year for the last 3 to 4 years. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Questions? Bring Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, we have Jan Alsweiger from Edmin and Gary Westdorf, who is available as a resource.
Yeah, come on up. Yeah, thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, Jan Alsweiger, Education Minnesota, and I'm glad we're having the opportunity to talk about this issue again. I do have a handout, if I could get those distributed. And I'm also testifying on behalf of SEIU and the Minnesota School Employee Association, as they all see a need for reforming our health care in our school districts. We have a crisis. We have individuals finding that they can no longer afford to teach with the insurance premiums that they have in their district. Premiums have increased by almost 50% for single and family coverage, and that is with reduced benefits and greater out-of-pocket costs. Average out-of-pocket costs for single rose from $700 to $1,400 since 2004. Since 2004, for some educators, maximum out-of-pocket families rose by, get this, 150%, as much as $20,000. You have heard about this bill as being efficient. It's a use of efficient taxpayer dollars. It also provides for transparency. What happens right now? We have over 330 school districts, administrators who have not been trained, most of whom have not been trained in insurance, and they're working with insurance companies, and 330-plus districts go to insurance providers to seek bids. That's not efficient. 12 school districts right now, the teachers do not have health insurance. Even more when you look at those individuals who are not licensed. Insurance costs, as Julie Blaha stated, is affecting suburban Minnesota, but also urban and rural Minnesota. You have before you the local impact note with a MMB logo on the top. I would ask you to turn to the inside of the first page. On the top right of that page, you will see a box with the local impact, fiscal impact. How did this come about? A lot of legislators were told 2 years ago that this was going to cost school districts a lot of money. In fact, a lot of people in this audience are here because they have been told by the opposition that this is going to cost a lot of money for school districts. So the Republican minority lead, Representative Laura Broad, requested the tax local impact note. And what do we find out? We find out that in FY 2011, it would have saved $10 million. In 12, it would have saved $23 million. And in 2013, it would have saved $60 million. If you project that out for 10 years, you're talking almost a $1 billion saving. So I talked, and I've been also hearing that people are being told that these numbers are not accurate. I have spoken to the people who have worked on this, and I encourage someone here at the table to ask them to come up and explain these numbers and how they got them, because we believe these numbers to be accurate. And if I share with you some of the results of the PEEP bids, it will directly correlate with that savings. So when we couldn't get statewide health insurance passed over a few number of years, we decided to use the law that allowed individuals or unions to get a bid from PEEP. My point here is PEEP offers an affordable product that has decent benefits, that does not have all of the administrative costs, no travel costs, little travel costs, certainly not flying around the country, no corporate salaries, corporate buildings, TV, radio ads, marketing. PEEP is very lean. So what did we see? When our teachers went to get a PEEP bid, Belle Plaines had a 15% projected increase from their insurance provider. They went to a 5% decrease, a reduction of 20%. I'm just picking out a few here. Edina saw a reduction of 10% from what their insurance provider had given them in a bid. Now, this is the same people, the same claims experience, but PEEP is an efficient method of delivering insurance. Faribault, a 20% reduction. Hastings, 600,000 reduction. This document is full of it. My point is PEEP can offer savings, and that is why the local impact note states that. I do want to share with you some of the things that you may have heard. Because the opposition has been saying that they're doing a good job of keeping premiums low. Well, we can find educators all over the state that will contradict that. And one of the ways you keep premiums low is that you increase the deductible, you increase office visit copays, or you increase out-of-pocket maximums. Just because a premium is staying low doesn't mean that the cost hasn't been shifted to the employee. We've also been told that there will be winners and losers. I'm sure you've heard that. But Anoka had no idea that they were going to see a 19% increase this year. My point is, you don't know what's going to happen to your insurance premium next year, because you don't know what's going to happen to you can't predict in the future what your catastrophic illnesses are going to be like, a premature birth, a transplant. So no one can be sure that their premiums are going to be stable over the course of a few years. We've heard that staff will lose jobs in the service co-ops. Duluth, when they got their bid from PEEP, they ended up saving $1.3 million in 1 year and $4 million over a few short years. And the headline on the paper said, Duluth saves $1.3 million and saves 23 teaching jobs. You'll also hear that the PEEP quotes were rejected by 85% of those who got the bids from PEEP. Well, educators only want an insurance product for a decent price. No one really likes change. And so if they're with Health Partners or Medica, and PEEP comes in, the more efficient organization comes in with a 20% lower bid, and then whichever insurance provider you have, Health Partners or whomever, comes down to meet that 20% reduction, sure, why wouldn't you stay with those people? It means nothing that they stayed with people, with their insurance companies. In fact, Education Minnesota did not say, we want you to go into PEEP. We said, we just want you to be able to get affordable insurance. And PEEP is an organization that does that. You're also going to possibly hear that teachers bargained away their health care, those 12 districts I talked about. Well, when your family premiums are $27,000 or $28,000, it is not sustainable. So, yes, one could say that teachers bargained that away, but it's only because they could not afford it. So, as a result, some of these districts have nothing. Some of them have financial contributions given to the teachers in the form of an HSA, but then they still have to go out and buy insurance on the private market. And you know those who are very ill are not going to be able to have affordable health care. We've also heard that not all of our members support SWEHI. Well, you know, when bills go through the committee and through the legislature, not everybody supports anything, but you've got to get something done. When we've done a survey a few years ago, the vast majority of our members were very supportive. You might hear that this is a purchasing mandate and that you have to buy from PEEP. Well, we know the current system is not working for our members. And as Senator Dibbles stated before, there are three options: Advantage, Advantage Value, and the HSA. And then there are three networks currently: Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Partners, and Preferred One. Medica could certainly be part of that if they could meet the demands of the negotiations with the state. The state has been very efficient. They've come up with a quality product, and they negotiate with the insurance networks to get a good price. This is the ultimate competition as compared to, you know, great school board members, great superintendents, but they were not trained to negotiate with insurance companies. You'll also hear, because I've heard it so many times in the past week, this is going to cost my district more. I will remind you of the PEEP bids that I talked about, the reductions all across the state. I would remind you of the local impact note that says over one biennium, they save $82.7 million. And if someone is saying that your district is going to cost your district more, they have no idea about that because we have not sought the claims data for every school employee in the state. And then you can't set a premium until you do that. And again, I would point out the information in the other documents that we just talked about. We've also been told just today that there's going to be changes in collective bargaining. There is nothing in this bill that will change collective bargaining. The only thing that is addressed in collective bargaining on insurance is the amount that the school board contributes to the employee or the employee's family. Another major point that you will hear, and I really want to make this very strong, is that, yes, we know that mandatory works. But over the years, we have decided to work with you, to work with our members, and to create an opt-out for those districts that have 1,000 or more self-insured lives. And if the school board and the union mutually agree, that they may opt out. I want to make it very clear to everybody in this audience, we are not trying to take out the self-insured option. Education Minnesota will be opposed to that. I want to make that perfectly clear. So why statewide? Compared to everything that you've heard with the school employees, and then compare CGIP. Over the last few years, CGIP has seen an average increase of about 4% per year. Compare that to the school districts that you heard about here from today. If we operated CGIP like we are operating our school districts, this is what would happen. The capital human resources would, the Senate or the capital human resources would get bids just for the people in this building. The state office building would get their own bids. The transportation department, the corrections, health and human services. That's not efficient. It's just not efficient. Our members want what you have, a large, stable pool so that they can stop these crazy 50% spikes in health insurance premiums. Schools have been starved and funding for education, and teachers' salaries are not that high. But what is going up is premiums for health insurance. We ask you to please give them the same opportunity that you have with the state employee pool, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Senator Kosoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was looking at your handout on the local impact note from 2010, and I'm not going to be able to comment to this, but I know there are testifiers that will say that this is a substantially different bill than the one in 2010. And I agree with you that when a district could look at PEEP as an option and found that it saved them money, it was in best interest of their employees and went that direction, that that was a win. They had that option. Prior to this bill, they had that option. But to change it from an option to you must definitely takes away some of the competition. And I think, you know, if you look at, I think if you add the full-time and part-time employees, you get about 113,000 employees that would be affected here. But so far with the choice to go into PEEP, it's about 7,000. You know, and so, you know, there has to be something here. You can't assume that every local district doesn't know what they're doing and doesn't have experience and can't make these qualified decisions, because all the ones that I have heard from in my area, every one of them have said this is bad. And I think one of the big things is they don't have the option. They feel like it's going to pass costs down to them, and I tend to believe them.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, just responding to the statement that this is a substantially different bill. It is not a substantially different bill. If anything, there are greater efficiencies in this bill rather than creating a separate entity kind of would be alongside PEEP. This would be, you know, separately pooled, you know, from the local units of government, the cities and the like, but nevertheless, the school employees would be fully in the PEEP itself. Instead of establishing the SEEP, the SEIP, we simply bring folks into the PEEP. Okay. Mr. Chair, I mean, you know, I can't respond to people who just say it's going to be more expensive. Show me the data. We have data that says it's going to be less expensive.
Senator Kosoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we'll see that shortly. But, you know, the other part that amazes me is that we mandate this, and then unlike some of the local governments that are in PEEP, where 2 years later, if they find it's not good for them, they have the option to opt out, we make it irrevocable. I mean, it's profound, the power grab that is happening here. When we mandate them going in, and it's irrevocable getting out, it's just, to me, I don't think it's good government.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the concept of adverse selection, but you know, if we don't create a large stable pool that's predictable over a period of time, that's what will drive costs up. And so that's what we're trying to address. You know, so, you know, folks are familiar with the notion of adverse selection. What ends up happening in that instance is only the folks with higher ratings experience, higher catastrophic health experiences, you know, very likely are the ones who are going to stay, and that will drive costs up.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Dibble. You say this is basically the same bill as what Senate File 915 was in 2009. I'm assuming that's the one you're referring to, and I guess it's a difference of how you look at it and what your perspective is. I think there's quite a few differences here. The 915 bill had different language on the MCHA charges. There was a different language on the Board of Directors appointees. You didn't have to opt out in 915. You weren't taking the co-op reserves in 915 that you're proposing to take in 446. You didn't allow the Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner to surcharge premiums to pay for the startup cost and stabilization of the reserves. Now, you may think those aren't big changes, and that's okay. I respect your opinion. But I think that what we need to do is make sure that everybody in this room knows that this is not the same bill and that there are some changes in the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
First of all, MCHA is going away. And everyone knows that. The others, you know, governance structure, the startup costs, et cetera, you know, if you have problems with the governance structure, Senator Dames, we can work with you on that. Startup costs were accounted for already. But nothing changes the cost drivers. This is essentially the same bill.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your response, Senator Dibble. We'll agree to disagree on if there are changes in the bill or not. I think there are, and I think the public needs to be aware of that, but we'll pass on that for now. Ms. Altswager, in your testimony, you're talking about all the people that saved money. How many school districts applied for PEEP last year?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I don't have that number in front of me, but I do know that there are people from PEEP and CGIP here who could answer all of those questions.
And I would like to have them, from PEEP, sir? If somebody from PEEP could come up, I would like to ask them some of those questions.
Well, we're going
to
do that. Yeah, we're going
to
do that.
Or do you want to hold up on that until we get through the testimony?
Sorry, I didn't hear the remarks. What?
I just want to find out how many people applied, how many groups applied for PEEP, how many school districts, and how many groups and things like that. Because, as Ms. Altsreger is saying, you know, that her testimony was that about 85% didn't go with PEEP. And so if that's a true assumption, Ms. Altsreger, if your numbers are correct and 85% didn't go with them, then I am being led to believe by your testimony that the reason they didn't is because every one of those 85% negotiated a better deal. And I really find that hard to believe when I think there would be probably, if we look at all the groups that applied last year, there's probably going to be close to, and I might be wrong in my number, but probably close to 200 groups, and probably about 10% went with PEEP. So I find it hard to believe that the other 190 all went out and negotiated better deals. I think we're being misled a little bit on that, and I think that concerns me.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dames, I did not say that. If you took it that way, that's not the way it was intended. A number of them saved a significant amount. Some probably got a little higher bid, but not much, and they decided to stay with some of them stayed with the their insurance company. I can give you an example. I believe it was Moose Lake, who a few years ago decided to go with PEEP because even though they got a bid that was higher than their insurance company or their service co-op, they were concerned about the way things were being handled. And they said, we're done. We're going into PEEP. They saw a couple of years later a 23% decrease in PEEP.
Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Dames, then we've got to move on. Senator Dames.
Just to follow up on that, you say that they might be higher, but not much. So then that indicates to me that you have access to these bids and you know what the bids came in at. Could you give me a list of those when you get a chance?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I don't have access to all of them. I have a list of 92, and they gave us anecdotal information. It's been around the Capitol for the last 2 years. And the information that we received from our members has been in legislators' hands for 2 years. Not one person has questioned the validity of the information because our members gave very honest and straightforward answers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jay, here's what we're going to do, Senator Dibble, with your permission. I think we'll go another 10 minutes or so with your folks, and then about an hour and 10 with the opposition, which leaves us about 20 minutes at the end of the agenda for amendments and other questions. Does that seem fair to everybody? So that's what I intend to do. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, I just want to make sure that I'm looking at the MMB report that you sent that got passed around. That was for House File 866. I understand that part. But because that one did not include anything from self-insured, this new bill would include self-insured groups, correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Jensen, no. We did allow for the self-insureds to opt out last time.
Okay, so this time they're in.
Yeah.
They would have to be.
Mr. Chair, Senator Jensen, no. The bill is the same this time, allowing them to talk.
I want to double check that.
Okay, we have another 7-8 minutes. Mr. Dibble,
Mr. Chair, I'll just confirm that that's how this was construed for the purposes of the report, but that was our proposal last time.
What's the Senator?
Okay, Senator Jensen?
Okay.
Confusion.
Senator Dibble, so that means the one that we currently are looking at does include self-insured groups?
Mr. Chair and Senator Jensen, it's a good question, and this was done on March 8th, and we did have the opt-out for self-insured in the bill that passed that. And if you look on page 2, the third full paragraph, it talks about how this 866 excludes the self-insured districts.
So, Mr. Chair, short answer to Senator Jensen's question is the analysis of this would be the same as the analysis of the current bill.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, further testimony, Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, I don't have any further testimony.
Okay, any questions at this time of the proponents of this bill?
One brief question.
Senator Kasoka.
Ms. Allswager, were service cooperatives excluded before? I don't know, and I'm just because I know in this bill they're where you have a group of districts that come together and they are excluded. I'm just wondering if service cooperatives were excluded before.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, I'm not really sure what you mean by service co-ops being excluded.
I'm sorry, they're included or mandated to. The PEEP program, were they mandated to be in it in prior bills?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, yes, they were.
All right, we're going to move on to the opposition. We could take one at a time, or two, or three, or however you're comfortable doing it. My first person listed is Grace Kelleher, Minnesota School Boards Association. Sam Walseth, Minnesota Service Cooperatives. Laura Kushner, League of Cities Human Resources Director. So welcome to the committee, and always state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to just let you know that Grace Kelleher has sent me in her place, and I realize we don't look alike. My name is Denise Dietrich, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota School Boards Association. And the Minnesota School Boards Association represents over 2,000 locally elected school board members across the state of Minnesota. And in addition to my role as on the Minnesota School Boards Association, I think that I also bring a unique perspective to this bill because I am also a former state representative, school board member, and teacher. But in general, I just want to make a few comments first before I get into those different perspectives. High health care costs and demands have captured the attention at all levels of society, public, private, federal, all the way down to local units of government. Our school boards have not been immune to these challenges, but in fact, they have spent the last 10 years aggressively attacking these challenges. They have been focusing on driving down costs, increasing efficiencies, and educating their employees in order to create healthier employee pools. While all this has been in motion, the Federal Health Care Act has passed, and on the horizon, the State Health Care Exchange, which will be voted on today on the House floor, which many of our school districts have expressed over and over again, are unsure on how that health care exchange will impact them. As we reform and implement a new system, we need all units of government moving in unison, complementing each other in a logical, strategic manner. Passing another statewide health care bill at this time without understanding how the health care exchange will impact over 300 school districts is not prudent. We urge you not to pass another statewide health care reform bill before we understand the implications and the costs of the health care exchange so that our boards can react and make prudent, systematic, long-term choices for their employees. Please allow the appropriate amount of time for the health care exchange to be fully implemented and analyzed before adopting another plan. And as statewide education leaders sitting around the table on that side and this side and school board members and employees, we need to ask the really tough question. What if the Affordable Health Care Act results in better and less expensive coverage than the health care exchange that will be available through the statewide plan that is being proposed here today in Senate File 446? At this point, the answer to that question is not known. Please allow the exchange to be fully implemented and analyzed before adopting another statewide plan. Now, with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to just take a couple different avenues in some other comments about the bill. And that is, as a former state representative, I have voted for a statewide teacher insurance bill in previous years, but I do think that this bill is different. And the first major difference, in my opinion, is that this bill creates a labor management committee. This board consists of 14 members, 7 represent employees, 7 representing employers. Now, on the employer side, only 3 of those 7 are actually employers within the school district organization. The remaining 4 are, in my opinion, technically employees. The other 7 employees are appointed by the various union groups. This is not an equal number of employer employees as represented in the bill. In addition, if there were a tie on this particular board, there is no provision for how to break the tie. And I know in previous years they have addressed that. The other thing that I think is that needs some work in this bill is that the Labor Management Committee has some different roles. They are advising and they are to come to agreement with the commissioner. And we believe that the phrase, plan design changes and some of the other language in the bill regarding the role and relationship with the commissioner is vague and that it needs to be clarified. Otherwise, I think there can be major snafus there. Secondly, in subdivision 5, line 4.17 and 1.8, the bill allows certain districts to opt out of participation, which implies that a statewide plan is only good for certain districts and not for others. This bill implies then that some districts are able to manage and negotiate their own plan, their own costs and management, while others are not. It is not based on the factual information of an individual school district, but or past management success or failure, merely the size and the state of the plan. We represent over 300 districts in the state. This is no longer a statewide plan, and it becomes very difficult to explain to the districts that do not want to join why they must join and they don't have the option to opt out. And there are some other concerns in the bill, but I think that they are going to be addressed later, so I will just skim.
That's good, Representative Dietrich. We've got 20 more folks, and we have about less than an hour to go, so I think you've made some good points there. Any questions at this time of Representative Dietrich or former Representative Dietrich? Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Sam Walseth, and I represent 8 regional service cooperative purchasing pools. Combined, those service cooperative pools currently insure 220 school districts. I want to refute one comment that had been made previously that there are 330-odd entities trying to do this on their own. That simply is not true. The vast majority of greater Minnesota has been working for decades on what I would say one of the most successful collaborative governance models, which is pooling and working on a statewide RFP for health insurance coverage. Those pools together, Mr. Chairman, for school employees cover about 35,000 school employees. The idea that a big pool is not going to be subject to rate spikes is simply not true. Don't take my word for it. Take the CGIP biannual report from 2009 to 2010 to show you that. And I've got copies for you, Mr. Chair, if members want to take a look. But you can see rate fluctuations in that group insurance program. Furthermore, when the state employee program was first up and running, they did experience, as they converted to a self-insured status in year 2000, pretty big rate increases at 23%, 21%, and 13% in the first 3 years of operation. We think a lot of that was primarily due to building up program reserves. Again, don't take my word for it. That's from CGIP's own reports. I've got copies of these for you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee wants to look at those. You can't get away from high claims. There's this idea that you're, by putting everybody in one big group, you're going to somehow get rid of bad experience. You still have all the bad experience to deal with. We think you achieve an economy of scales of program efficiency at a much lower level, something closer to 10,000 members or 10,000 contracts in a pool, and that's when you've achieved the economies of scale. Mr. Chairman, I'm here today with one kind of key message, and there's a lot to dive into in the local impact note, but we think competitive shopping works. And I think you actually heard that from the teachers who came before you today. They got competitive quotes. They were able to show those to their existing carriers and drive rates down or accept another option, and it worked. In our own experience, Mr. Chairman, members, the school employees over the last 3 years, we think about 300 insurance quotes were sought from school employee groups in the service cooperative pools, yet 95% of those employee groups stayed with the service cooperative pools. This bill would say that's nice, but now you all have to go into PEEP anyway. We think that's wrong, and we think you should preserve a competitive shopping market for school district insurance. Mr. Chairman and members, to the local impact note that's been floated around quite a bit, I have obviously spent a lot of time reading this and dissecting it, and I'm glad we're starting to get beyond just the headline points of that local impact note, but I think it was referred to as a conservative estimate, the $90 million potential savings over 3 years, when in fact, if you look on page 1, paragraph 3, the statement there is this is a best estimate analysis of existing information gathered from several sources. It's not a conservative estimate. It's the best estimate. If you turn ahead, this is where I think Senator Jensen was starting to probe a little deeper into this idea of self-insured and where the cost savings are. If you look at, I think Ms. Altschwager called the third full paragraph, I'm going to call it the fourth chunk of text there on page 2, where it says HF 866 excludes districts that are currently self-insured. Go a little further, which represents approximately 13% of school expenditures. This is inaccurate. This report was based on, this MMB local impact note was based on the 2004 Redden and Anders study, which was based on 2001 claims data, which at that time represented 13% of the market being self-insured. By the time this local impact note was put together, 62% of the market had become self-insured. And, Mr. Chair and members, we think today 85% of the market is currently self-insured, including the 220 members in our pools. The significance of that is the key strategic move for districts to save money, there are kind of two or three areas, but one was to get out of paying MCHA assessments and premium taxes. And a lot of districts realized they could do that by converting to self-insured arrangements, and they did that over the last decade. Now, your former colleague, Senator Linda Berglund, did not appreciate our work in that effort because it caused her some problems in that HHS budget. But to save educators and districts money, the vast majority of the market converted to a self-insured arrangement. So, Mr. Chairman, members, that's one inaccuracy in the local impact note. It's just using old information that was outdated at the time. What we want you to look at is that on page 4 of the local impact note, there's a note here that says MMB did not factor any upfront costs with starting the program. And this is what's really going to hit districts hard, is in Senate File 446, Section 5, that allows MMB commissioner to surcharge districts. That's real money. You're talking about a pool with statewide premiums of upwards of $1.4 billion by 2014. That's in the charts of the local impact note. If you assumed a 20% reserve amount on $1.4 billion in claims, that's $220 million. That's divided by 824,000 students. That's about $267 per pupil in a potential surcharge to build up reserves. For members not on the E12 committee in this room, we're looking at $52 per pupil under Governor Dayton's plan. You can't afford this. And that reserve amount might be conservative. If you look at the PEEP program itself from MMB, from their website, their current contingency reserve is at 31%. They think that's about where it needs to be. So that reserve surcharge could be much higher. Mr. Chairman, members, I just want to finish with one. There's a lot more to talk about, but finish with one other note idea. And that is, we hear what the teachers are saying about affordability of coverage and cost shifting onto employees. That's been the name of the game for everybody. Everybody's got high deductibles, except for you folks around the table who take state employee insurance coverage. That isn't affordable to Minnesota school districts, especially in greater Minnesota. And I want to echo a lot of what the Malacca teacher said about funding for rural school districts. But you're looking at an average cost in the charts of the MMB local impact note. If you divide $1.4 billion divided by 824,000 students, you're talking about $1,699 per pupil. The co-op pool averages are $1,071 per pupil. Now, there's a lot of reasons for the difference in that amount of funding. Provider networks, different plan designs certainly have a lot to do with it. But you're talking about forcing everybody into a plan that costs a third more. That's serious money for school districts, $503 per pupil on average across greater Minnesota districts to the state plan. That is money that is unheard of in the E12 budget committee. I would love to see $500 per pupil go on to the formula, but that's not even in the ballpark. So, Mr. Chairman and members, we think the current...
Before that, Senator Dahl, did you have a question?
When he's done.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman and members, I just wrap up by saying we do believe that competitive shopping is working. It is giving employees who have a unilateral right to enroll in PEEP, it's giving them the ability to shop for coverage. They're able to compare that with what they've currently got, and if they don't like what they've currently got, they can enroll into PEEP today. You don't need to mandate everybody in and get rid of a competitive shopping place. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Senator
Dahl.
Mr. Walsh, and by the way, I'm on my wife's plan. I'm not on the state plan, but anyway. do all of the money that a school district would provide to the co-op for insurance, whether it's employee or employer contribution, does a co-op use all of that money just to manage insurance, just insurance?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dahl, I think I know where you're going with this one. In years past, the cooperatives were, it was pointed out that they were taking some of the administrative charge they were collecting for insurance programs and investing it in the Spelling Bee and the Knowledgeable program. Since that time, some have decided not to do that anymore, but some still do.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, thanks. And then the other point, you know, as we see in all these examples, and I've been at the negotiating table where we did go out and get a PEEP quote after we were hit with a 15% increase, and they came to meet us, you know, at the same rate. Again, that's why we didn't leave. But I'm just wondering, shouldn't our providers be coming forward with their best faith quote the first time rather than having to run out and find the other quote from PEEP? Shouldn't we be getting their best price the first time? I'm just... That's kind of where I keep coming back to, you know, I'd like to them to be honest up front rather than us having to play this game of going out to get a quote.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dahl, that's why you need a competitive marketplace, is to ensure that people are doing that work. Okay. If you mandate everybody into one organization, what's to prevent that from becoming uncompetitive too? And that's why we believe you need that creative friction. It might be frustrating, it might be time consuming, but competitive shopping is how you guarantee and how you push best value.
Okay, next, Laura Kushner.
Thank you. My name is Laura Kushner, and I'm here to testify on behalf of the League of Minnesota Cities. You might be asking, why are cities involved in this? We have two concerns with this bill. Although it doesn't appear to impact cities directly, we are concerned that the loss of schools in the service cooperatives throughout the state would have a negative impact on those cooperatives, on the cooperatives. A lot of our smaller cities, we have cities with just a small handful of employees. It's very difficult for them to obtain affordable insurance for their employees, and they have very few good alternatives. The service cooperatives are a good alternative for those small cities, and we're worried that the schools pulling out might have a very negative impact on that option for our cities. The second thing is to just agree with the school boards that right now is not the best time to be messing with health insurance from our perspective. Our cities are really trying hard to gear up and prepare for the Affordable Care Act. It's a very complicated law. It's very difficult to understand what's going to happen. And, you know, this could end up having some penalties for our cities. We just don't know yet. There's just too much unknown about that at this point as to how that might impact them. So we are concerned about the bill for those reasons, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, next. Association of Metropolitan Districts. We have a number, maybe about 2, 4, 5, or 6. Would like to come forward, or if you could do it as a group, maybe. And always identify yourself for the records.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Pam Langseth. I am currently a member of the Executive Board of AMSD. I'm the former chair of that organization. I'm a current member of the Minnetonka School Board, former chair of that organization. And I've also spent the past 30 years in industry running businesses, where most recently I had a 400-employee small business where I regularly negotiated health care costs for my employee group. Reining in the cost of health care is really critical. As a school board, we work very, very hard to ensure that we provide the best plan possible for our employees while keeping costs as low as they can be. In order to accomplish this goal, our district chose to become a self-insured group over 11 years ago. Our employees deserve to have a plan that is designed to meet their unique needs in terms of benefit coverage, cost, and network. And it's important to regularly review the plan to ensure that it is meeting the needs of the employer and the employees. Creating an option for districts to consider in this regular evaluation is good. Requiring all districts to participate in one health care program is not the right solution. And in my opinion, and that of AMSD member school districts, this bill is not good for our employees and our member school districts. From a coverage standpoint, it's important to meet the specific health care needs of individual employee groups. Each group is unique and has unique needs. And employers must regularly look at the networks, at the plan benefit design, and the cost to employees to find the best match. This decision is best made at the local level, and a statewide mandated plan does not allow the unique needs of employee groups to be achieved and adequately met. From a cost and network standpoint, PEEP is one of the many options already available, and school districts are able to choose to participate in this program today. If it really was a good plan, districts would be choosing it as their health care plan. In our district's case, PEEP is more expensive. In fact, when we look at one of our neighboring districts at the single level, it's 8% more costly. Single plus one is 34% more costly, and the family cost is 27% more costly, and it offers less benefits than our current self-insured plan. In addition, the network is more restrictive. If our district participated in this plan today, our employees would pay more for less coverage under the PEEP plan, and that's not a good solution for our employees. Reducing health care costs is also a very good goal. It's best accomplished, though, through the education of employees regarding health care plan utilization and impact on plan costs, and through creating a culture of healthy employees from a nutritional, exercise, and healthy activity standpoint. In our case, costs in our school district have increased only 3.6 per year for the past 11 years due to the involvement of our employees and due to the plan design that we have had. Creating a statewide pool does not accomplish this goal. Finally, district choice is the key. PEEP can be an option, but it should not be mandated. The solution for this bill is an opt-in approach, not an opt-out approach. This bill will add costs to school districts, which will in turn result in dollars removed from the classroom to pay for a plan that ultimately is more expensive and more restrictive in benefit coverage for our employees. And I urge you not to vote for this proposed bill as it's presented today. Thank you.
Okay, next. Senator Goodwin.
Mr. Chair, I'll wait if you want.
Okay, whatever.
Okay.
You can ask it right now.
Okay,
like.
Ms. Langseth, I have a question for you. A couple of things, actually. Now, Minnetonka School District is already self-employed. You already have 1,000 people in your health care plan?
Yes.
So, Mr. Chair and Ms. Langseth, so really you can opt out of this and your school district isn't going to be affected at all.
If our employees are given accurate information about the options presented to them, that's true. If they aren't given accurate information, they may make a wrong decision.
Okay.
You're right. So the vote is dependent upon the information presented.
One more question, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who's going to answer this, but when I was looking at this, and I've been on the school board too, but when I was looking at this a couple years ago, what I was finding was that a lot of superintendents and administrative types are getting a much higher premium health care plan, I mean a much better quality health care plan than the employees are now. Is that still happening to your knowledge?
No, it's exactly the same for all employees of our school district.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kristen Hoheisel. I am here to represent the St. Anthony New Brighton School District and MSD and MASBO, which is the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials. We oppose Senate File 446 for mandatory use of PEEP. We believe it's the legislative goal is to provide the best coverage at the lowest price. The bill proposes a rate individual districts separately within PEEP, therefore there are very little economies of scale to scale benefits for individual districts. They are just fully insured now, but have another layer of administration to pay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
That's not accurate. We would not be rating school districts separately within the PEEP.
Yeah, but Senator Dibble.
I can respond that even if that is the case, there is another layer of administrative costs beyond us just making payments to ultimate insurers. One of the questions that was brought up previously was that in a school, in a cooperative system, is there additional money going to other places? I can say I'm currently with a cooperative that takes no administrative fee. We pay our insurance directly, and so there is no administrative fee attached. And my understanding of the bill is that there would be an additional layer of administrative charges. The second point that I'd like to make regarding best coverage at lowest price is directly to what Mr. Walseth brought up with reserve for surcharges. School districts would have no way to predict or control the amount of a surcharge. This provision has the potential to be very expensive for school districts, especially in the first year, as cash reserves of a significant amount of the prior 12 months' expenses are needed to provide adequate working capital to pay the ongoing steady flow of claims. That's global perspective. I'm here also to say I believe I am the poster child for choice. Our school district, in my existence with the school system, we have been self-insured. We then moved to a cooperative model, and we are now with our second cooperative model, all in the sake of choice in premiums that we pay. Our rates for the last 5 years have averaged 1.8% increase. We have negotiated and made hard decisions with our negotiating teams to keep costs low. That said, another question was administrative costs. Is there a different premium contribution? In our district, it is not. Everybody pays exactly the same no matter what bargaining group or administrative level you are at. We have worked hard to promote wellness with employees. We have worked to change employee behavior to better manage health care. By implementing a mandated statewide insurance pool, local districts will have no incentive or motivation to look at the data to develop and implement good strategies and reduce health care costs. As I said, we are a member of a cooperative. Alternative health insurance options, as we have done, are an option. PEEP is an option. Or districts can go to a self-insurance model. if we have the opportunity to change now and that becomes an irrevocable lock for us in the future, is that in our best interest? We believe not. There are many competitive forces, along with local control, that we believe would be lost with a mandatory participation in PEEP.
Okay, so that's a good one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Kristen Hoheisel.
Kristen. I want to know, you said you had a 1.8% increase is all you've had in your cooperative that you're with.
We have over, that is an average over 5 years. We have had a couple years that were zero and a couple years that were a little higher, so the average over 5 years is about 1.8%.
Okay, Mr. Chair. So have your co-pays or your deductibles changed at all in that 5 years?
Mr. Chair, Senator, we have made changes, but it's been district-wide. We have had insurance committees, representatives from all bargaining groups. We currently have a copay plan and a high deductible plan that is available for employee choice of which plan they choose to go through, and contribution levels to a VEBA and various things are all impacted by that choice.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's a choice they have, then, if they want a high deductible and lower premium, obviously, and higher copay, so that brings your, theoretically, your rates.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Senator Goodwin.
Then to clarify that, thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're saying that some people have higher deductibles and copays, but other people don't, or does basically everybody in the district had higher copays or deductibles, or both, but some had higher than others?
You're saying they have their choice, I would believe.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm saying they have their choice. We have two plans that are available within our district. Every employee has the option for which plan they want to go with, and based on the plan they choose, there are various contributions to either premium or a VEBA plan for them to use to offset, should they choose the high deductible plan to offset. That is exactly the same for every employee in our district.
Okay, Mr.
Senator,
I'm sorry. Yeah, one more question then. So what's the difference in the cost between this, the regular plan, whatever you want to call it, and the high deductible plan? What is the difference in the cost for the, let's say, just the employee only?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the cost, I would say for a high deductible plan, which is currently $1,250 individual, $2,500 family, that's our high deductible plan. The cost to the employee for a family coverage is approximately $70 or less a month that they pay for the insurance premium, and then they receive an $800 annual contribution to a VEBA plan. So if you were family and it's $2,500, you take away the $8, and that's their exposure level, and they're paying $60 a month for family insurance.
But, Mr. I also wanted to know what the other plan, what the cost is on the other plan.
The copay plan, which is a $20 copay, I would say that the premium contribution is probably a few hundred dollars for people to choose per month for people to choose to go on a family plan for the copay plan.
It's a, I would say, you know, like the autos and homeowners, I mean, if you have a higher deductible, if you can handle it, you know, some people probably can't, but if you make it $1,000 on your homeowners, I would think you'd save a lot of money probably on your premiums if you can handle comfortably the $1,000. Mm-hmm. So that's probably no different than homeowners or auto, where you, a lot of people choose to take that higher.
And, Mr. Chair, honestly, it is designed for consumerism. Our goal, the district has strategically put more money towards the high deductible plan in hopes that we could, as part of the measures and all the work we've done for well over a decade, help contain utilization, work on wellness, do the things that we should be doing to make plans effective.
Senator Kosoka, Senator Kosoka.
With the high deductible plan, do you also offer an HSA health savings account, or is that not part of the option?
Ours is an Senator, Mr. Chair. Ours is a HRA.
Okay.
How does Flex plans fit in anywhere here? Flex.
Mr. Chair,
you offer that?
We do have the option for an employee to enroll in Flex Plan too, so they can take that pre-tax dollars if should they be have exposure with their deductible.
Yeah, I think I knew the answer, but I thought I'd bring it up. Okay, let's continue on. Senator, go around a quick question. And
yeah,
we got about a half an hour.
I really need to compare what's going on with the cost for the teachers here and for the other employees. And so I really would like to know what a few hundred dollars doesn't tell me how much that plan is for the school district or for the employee. So can you give me a better figure than a few hundred dollars?
Senator, the district currently contributes $13,000 for a family insurance plan.
And the employee,
depending on the plan that's chosen, would probably pay for a high deductible plan $700 out of pocket before the deductibles.
But what I'm trying to find out is the higher quality, lower deductible plan, how much does that cost the employee?
What is taken out of their paycheck I don't know numbers totally off the top of my head, would be approximately, let's say, $2,200 to $2,400 annually for premium expenses, and then it's a $20 copay beyond that.
Thank you.
Okay, next.
Mr. Chair, Senators, my name is Paul Bourgeois. I'm the Executive Director of Finance and Operations for Minnetonka Public Schools. I am a CPA, and I'm in my 20th year of overseeing self-insured health. Without duplicating a lot of the good comments that have been made here today, I'd just like to hit four quick bullets. One of the first things I'd like to reinforce is the testimony from our friend from the co-ops regarding the need to eventually set up a significant amount of reserves for this plan. In self-insured, in any health plan, cash is king. You know the massive volume of costs in terms of all the claims for health insurance. I did a back-of-the-napkin figuring, but I was expecting in the billion-dollar or more range of annual claims from a statewide pool, and that would eventually need to have about $300 to $350 million of reserve set up because you need that cash flow to cover all your claims. Based on the bill, even though we do have an amendment there, the amendment would not really cover that, or else it would just draw out the pain. Eventually, you have to establish that pool of additional reserves to help your cash flow, because you're going to have immediate cash flow on day one of this thing with a massive number of claims coming in. The second thing is, just to reinforce, is every bargaining unit, as you all well know, has access to this P plan on their own. This should be an opt-in, not an opt-out. It's a good choice for a lot of school districts. We've heard testimony on that. Nobody's denying that. It's a good choice for some of those districts. The ability, though, for other districts to be able to handle their own insurance in a more cost-efficient manner should not be something that is given a wrecking ball to and just totally disregarded and taken away. We have been saving dollars for a long time. Comparison to the CGIP plan with 4% increases per year, at 3.62% of our annual plan increases in Minnetonka, we're actually 10% more efficient than the CGIP plan. Finally, one concern I have about the self-insurance, the way self-insurance works, is you have ownership with your employees of the plan. It's seen as a benefit that they take care of and they manage. I'm concerned that if we go to a statewide pool will then all of a sudden just be seen as this big giant entitlement. And we know from experience at the federal level, with the way costs are going out of sight with Medicare, Medicaid, the Health and Human Services budget having to support that, you would not see the individual ownership by employees. They'd look at it as entitlement to be taken advantage of rather than a benefit for ownership. And then finally, I'd just like to reinforce that the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials is very strongly against this bill in its current form. Thank you.
Sir, have you seen the Dibble amendment, the A6 amendment, that
yes,
funds the upfront money?
That is, as I read it, it would provide a pool for startup money. But startup money is probably not going to be nearly as much as reserves. Or even if it is, if it's going to be repaid back over time, then you're going to have to take that money out of the premiums that we pay, which comes out of our basic formula revenue, and whether it's over 3 years or 5 years or 7 years to pay it back, that'll be money that's not going into the classroom every year that it's being paid back. So in my mind, at least in my opinion, it does not solve the problem. It just stretches out the pain.
I think that's a little strong to say it might not go back in the classroom, because it's going to be paid for one mechanism or another. Go ahead. Next up.
I'm Sarah Leverins. I represent Greater Minnesota AFSCME Council 65. And I'm here because we have some significant concerns about the cost of this plan, this bill, to our members. We represent the lowest paid employees in school districts. We represent cooks. We represent bus drivers. We represent janitors and building engineers. And we represent custodians. Our members, because of history, have benefits that are now significantly better in many cases, not all, but in many cases, than what would be offered to a new PEEP member. I looked it up as I was sitting here again, and the out-of-pocket maximum on the three PEEP plans that would become available to our members runs between $1,100 and $5,000. We're concerned about that, and I'm going to speak for the person who would have been here, but he's at the Mayo Clinic having an infusion. He's a member of ours. He's a school bus driver at Park Rapids High School. He's 57 years old. And he came down with a kind of pneumonia that I can't pronounce about 2 years ago. It's a progressive lung disease, which they tried to use prednisone for you, but if the prednisone doesn't work, then you have to have a lung transplant or you're going to die.
Oh, my goodness.
He makes $17.52 an hour. But because, of course, he doesn't work full-time as a school bus driver, he makes less than $22,000 a year. His transplant cost $450,000. His drugs will cost between $20,000 and $40,000 a year for the rest of his life. And, of course, he's going to see the doctor. At this point, he's at Mayo twice a month. When I talked to him about what the out-of-pocket maximums on the medical benefits and the out-of-pocket maximums on the drug costs were, his response was he could not afford that. Currently, he is on the single plan at the school district. The school district pays 100% of the single plan. And they put money into a VEBA account for him. So he will tell you, unlike many of the people that he met at the Gift of Life home in Rochester, he was the one employee who was not, or one person there who was not worrying about whether he could pay for this or not. I, in general, philosophically, and our union philosophically, believes in pool arrangements. We understand leverage and buying power. We negotiate contracts for a living. But our members do not, as cooks, school bus drivers, custodians, do not have the kind of leverage necessary in negotiating a union contract in most of the state to negotiate enough money into a health care reimbursement account all at once to cover the additional costs that this will be to employees. Over time, we may be able to do that. We have, over time, negotiated them good benefits now. But we're going to need some help, whether it's from this committee or another committee in the legislature, making sure that people like my member, Kevin Dotson, who's had the double lung transplant and takes a pill that costs $3,000 a month to take, can continue to afford health care on salaries that this man, one of the higher paid people, are still less than $22,000 a year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you for all of you. Barb Cox, Health Partners, and Phil Griffith, Preferred One, would you please come forward? another 15, 20 minutes or so on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Phil Griffin. I represent Preferred One, and I'm here with my colleague Barbara Cox from Health Partners. We're representing the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, the 7 nonprofit health plans from Minnesota that provide coverage and employ people throughout 70 locations in the state of Minnesota. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we're here today to respectfully ask you to vote against Senate File 446. And we've spoken with Senator Dibble, and Senator Dibble, I'm pleased over the years that we've come to see many changes in this bill. It's a far different bill than we've had before us in past times, and I appreciate the fact that you've been willing to listen to a number of those things. And I support very strongly the idea that you have Preferred One, supports Minnesota school districts and their employees and teachers in having statewide access to high-quality, affordable health care. This means that districts should be able to self-insure their employees or join a statewide pool if they choose to. But that's the goal of our testimony today, to ask you to make this a voluntary program. And Senator Goodwin, with all due respect, the bill does allow the two groups to get together at the table and decide that they will jointly join, but it doesn't mean that the district can join or the teachers can join, and that's a fundamental difference that we'd have. You've heard a lot of testimony today, Mr. Chairman, members, and I won't try and go through all of that. But the proponents of the bill talk to you about the need to control costs. And I want to point out very strongly that there is nothing in this bill that is going to lower the trajectory that we have in health care costs. That is a problem that you are dealing with at all of the committee levels, whether it be the Judiciary Committee, the Education Committee, the Health Care Committee, the Transportation Committee. Health care costs are driving the state budget. This bill does nothing to fix that. This bill also doesn't do one other thing that the proponents talk about, and that is providing coverage for all people. If, in fact, they were interested in making sure that this bill covered all people, they would mandate all districts in. The language of the bill this time, and as it did all back way back in 2007, when I look at my testimony from then, doesn't mandate people to get coverage. It still leaves that up. That's a major flaw in this. Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, the small groups will be able to get into the health insurance exchange next January 2014. We would ask you to double-check the source of that information because we believe that is the case, and we hope districts that want to can take advantage of that if they're small districts. Finally, I want to just reiterate what Mr. Walseth said in terms of the local impact statement. It's not a question of whether the local impact statement is wrong or whether they're making up numbers. The numbers that they are using are antiquated numbers. It's a 2004 Redden and Anders report that was updated in 2009. We don't do actuarial work in the state health plans, nor does anybody else based on data that old. In fact, we're arguing that the data that's being used in the health insurance exchange debate is a couple of years old, and that's too old. So we would urge you to look at those kinds of things as you move forward. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm cognizant of the fact that there's little time today. If there are questions, I'd be happy to answer them after Ms. Cox has an opportunity to speak.
Hi, I have a couple documents, too, for the page. Good afternoon.
Barb Cox, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Barbara Cox, and I'm here today with some colleagues from Health Partners. Health Partners employs over 20,000 people in our hospitals, health plan, and clinics. And I want to start by saying that we share the goal of Senator Dibble and the teachers that have spoken and other school officials of lowering the cost of health care. We are involved in many initiatives to move us towards that goal in Minnesota. To the bill. This bill proposes an enormous change to the Minnesota insurance market during a period when there are already many moving parts due to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, the state exchange development, and other proposals. We are also concerned, like a previous testifier spoke to, that so much change at once will have negative unintended impacts to the market and thus consumers. I brought some information that the page is passing out, and it's probably not a comprehensive list, but it's a list of some of the significant changes that are coming in the next 2 years. This major change would be on top of those changes. This is not the time to add yet more complexity to the insurance market, especially when, as the bill states, and to me the bill is not exactly clear in this point, but it says on line 5.4 that the decision to opt out of this program is irrevocable. Our second concern comes from the fact that, as other testifiers have stated, we think that competition and shopping around benefits consumers and benefits small businesses. The page is passing out a second article, and that comes from the Hudson, Wisconsin School District. With all due respect to my other health plan colleagues here, the Health Partners Plan saved that school district $1 million a year after they were allowed to bid for the insurance outside of the Wisconsin school pool. And I want to acknowledge that I'm not an expert on the Wisconsin school pool, and that pool is likely different than PEEP and the Minnesota pool that's being proposed. But the point is, by shopping around, that school district was able to save $1 million a year. Finally, we have concerns about this massive shift to PEEP due to the effect that it will have on the rest of the fully insured market. And the representative from the city spoke to this as well. When groups move to PEEP and no longer pay premium taxes and MSHA assessments, and MSHA is not going away right away, these costs are shifted to the rest of individuals, small businesses, and cities that remain. Please consider voting against this proposal to prevent this shift and preserve choice and competition.
Okay, questions of Ms. Cox or Mr. Griffith at this point? Okay, we have another six or eight folks that are listed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Are listed here. My list provides for Jim Quirum, Rod Barnes, David Lindbergh, Dan Voigt, Beryl Lathman, Dotson, Julie's Sink, and Matt Moans. Let's, if you can all kind of give us about a minute or two, would that be fine? Okay. You can have 4.5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Rodney Barnes. I'm the Executive Director for Human Resources at the Elk River School District. Thank you for letting me speak here today. I'm here representing the Elk River School District to express our opposition to the bill and to request that you vote against the bill or at least make it voluntary. The Elk River School District is the 8th largest school district in the state of Minnesota. We have about 1,254 participants enrolled in our health insurance plan. We offer three different plan designs, a $25 copay plan, a $500,000 deductible plan, and a $2,750-$5,500 high deductible plan. We have a total annual expected claims of about $12 million a year on that plan. We have, in the last 4 to 5 years, the school board has been aggressively attacking the rising costs in health insurance. We were part of a service co-op just a few short years ago. We were too large for that co-op. We were seeing anywhere from 22 to 24% increases in our insurance premiums. Our concern with that is that we weren't getting credit for the hard work that we were doing. We made a decision to leave the service co-op, go out on our own. We switched providers, went to Health Partners, took a 0%, saved approximately $1.6 million in that move over an anticipated 10% increase for that year. Since then, we've negotiated a negative 4% for this year with Health Partners. Our premiums have gone down. We've negotiated two additional years at a 4% and a 4% rate cap guarantee for the next 2 years. And we've also negotiated $50,000 for wellness initiatives for each of those 3 years that we have put to work by hiring a health wellness coordinator and employing wellness activities. Again, the bill does nothing to address the underlying cost of health insurance increases, which is consumer behavior. We have changed the conversation in Elk River. We have collaborated with our union. We have held premium costs down. We have kept our benefit plan designs the same. We have not raised deductibles or copays. And as the speakers before me have said, competitive shopping works, and it gives us the ability to go out and negotiate the rates that are going to be the best for our employees. So I'll stand for any questions you might have.
Okay, next.
My name is Jim Quirum. I'm the Director of Human Resources for Elk River Area Schools. Being respectful of time, I'll just say from our point of view in Elbert Lee, 2 years ago we went out for a competitive bid process. PEEP was one of those that came back in with a bid. When all was said and done, the bid was actually 8.5% higher than the one that we chose. And for us, that's over $400,000. And so extrapolating that forward, even if we kept that rate the same for 2 years and figured in what our actual increase was, that would be a savings to the district of $750,000, having gone with the competitive bid process and being able to control that at the local level. And so for us in Albert Lea, we encourage you as a district to not support this bill and keep that local control of being able to go out for bids with the competent administrators and school boards as it is. Any questions?
Okay, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have one question. Between the plan that you chose and the PEEP plan, was there any difference at all in deductibles and co-pays and benefits in general between the two plans?
Yeah, it wasn't apples for apples. There was some small differences. And actually, with the plan that we chose, the deductible with PEEP was a bit less. However, with the current plan that we have, we cover the deductible for our employees. We put $1,200 in their VBA to cover the deductible that they had. So that wasn't much of an issue for us when looking at it. But they're very similar plans.
Thank you.
Benefits are pretty much the same in the when you compare the two. Is that correct?
Correct.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Quirum, what prompted you to go get the PEEP bid initially?
I can't answer that. Lori Voles, the Director of Finance, did the RFP process. I think we were just trying to get as many bids as we could.
Senator Dahl. Mr. Chair, Mr. Quirum, I was just wondering, were you facing an increase, a larger increase from your current provider?
We assumed there would be an increase, but we really felt as a district, just to be efficient with our tax dollars and responsible to the public, that we went out for bids for that. Something we do as a practice the last 4 or 5 years with everything we do.
Senator Ritter.
Thank you, Brett. Mr. Chair. Mr. Quorum. Following up on Senator Goodwin's question, so it sounds like you're contributing to the VBA for a large part or all of the deductible. Was that collectively bargained with your local unit, your local Ed Minnesota unit?
Yes, that's been longstanding contracts ago.
So in your experience, being able to contain health care costs through a competitive bid, plus being able to negotiate through the collective bargaining process, seems to be the most efficient way to keep costs down?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sir.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is David Lindberg. I'm the Human Resources Director for St. Francis Independent School District 15. I'm concerned about the changes because IC 15 has spent the last 18 months collaborating with employee groups to improve the state of health care in the district. In January of 2012, Neopath Health was hired to provide a free on-site clinic to employees twice a week. We negotiated our way out of a toxic health insurance agreement and into a self-funded model for healthcare. This proposal sets aside innovation in favor of mandating behavior with unfunded legislation where the only surefire winner is Inovo Benefits and Marketing, the company that administers PEEP, who stands to make about napkin math, about $13 million in commissions and administrative fees. And their administrative fees to enroll employees into their benefits are above industry average. The second of my major concern in the provision in the proposal is at line 5.5 through 5.11. This section does ISD 15 tangible harm. The provision states that the districts with more than 1,000 insured lives will be exempt. ISD 15 has approximately 880 lives under our self-funded arrangement. What's more, the proposal would have ISD 15 write a check to Inovo Benefits for the amount of our reserve fund. This reserve fund is how the district pays for the free on-site clinic for employees. This proposal has devastating effects to districts that have made strategic strides in employee health care, extinguishes innovation, and takes the right to bargain with the district for benefits away from teachers and employees. I have a couple questions for the author of this bill. Did you know that PEEP prices groups individually? I spoke to the PEEP plan administrators 2 days ago, tried to find the prices for their plans and could not, and was told that the plans are priced individually based on groups, not as a collective pool. They administer all of these groups and save some administrative costs, and yet their administrative costs are higher than average. You cannot get a quote from PEEP unless you give them your census information for your organization so they can rate you individually as an organization.
Okay, Mr. We've got about 4 or 5 more minutes for the opponents, and it's equal time. And I'm going to let the author of the bill, if he wants a short summary, to speak, and then we'll go to the amendments. That's how we're going to proceed.
Can I add one more thing?
One more thing.
Nowhere in this bill, and I think the most important part that complicates the guys' lives at this table, is affordable health care. This 5-page legislation has severely complicated the 2,500 pages of legislation that we're faced with implementing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we've got 2 or 3 more people. This will be the last we'll hear from on the opponents. And be brief, okay? We had wonderful testimony this afternoon, but we have time constraints, too. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Earl Ottman. I'm the business manager for the Pierce School District. I'm also the chair of the risk management pool for the National Joint Powers Alliance. I'm also a past president of MASBO, and so I've got a few years of experience in the area of this topic. I'm not going to repeat a lot of what's been said. I agree with everything that's been said on the opposition side. Choice is the matter. Is a significant issue here. And then I'd also like to make this statement. Education Minnesota a few years ago pushed for school districts to have the authority to move freely from the co-op pools without penalty, and they were successful in getting Minnesota Statute 123A21 Subdivision 12 passed. This law allows school districts a window of opportunity each year to get quotes and give service cooperatives notices that they would be leaving. Now, Education Minnesota wants districts to have no choice in plan design and the ability to choose the lowest possible bidder for their health insurance needs. Why the 180 on school choice? Competition is a good thing. It seems Education Minnesota doesn't want to play by the very rules they want to mandate its service co-ops to follow. And I wish we could always get our lowest possible bid from the providers. I'd like to be able to go to a car dealership and do the same thing. But that doesn't happen, and that's why we need choice. I also have an issue with the makeup of the committee. There's no individuals that are on this governing committee that have expertise in managing health care. MASBO has been completely let off of this as a member, and we strongly recommend that a MASBO member, if this bill goes forward, be named as one of the individuals. Thank you.
Let me just say that the next stop would be state and local government, and they're the committee that deals with the makeup of committees in this institution. So, go ahead, next.
I'm Julie Sink. I'm the Director of Business Affairs for Prior Lake Savage Area Schools. 2 years ago, our district was in the midst of the fifth year of budget cuts, and we were exploring options to reduce expenditures. Healthcare costs are 12% of our district's budget. Our renewal came to the district with an increase of 3% in the first year and 5% in the second year. You would think that's not a lot. However, that was $650,000 for our district. And when we needed to reduce expenditures and not increase them, this was a large dollar amount for us. We renegotiated with our broker and with our service provider to get a 0 and a 5, which was another $400,000, which would have been $400,000. That really put up a red flag for us to say, was there additional costs to be saved? And so we investigated the self-funded option. We were able to keep the same level, aggregate level of benefits for our employees, the same premium costs, and build our reserves without raising any premiums. And we saved almost $800,000 in administrative fees, negotiated stop-loss rates. We negotiated our provider discounts and other fees as well. we also were able to keep the margins, the difference between what our premium is and what our claims were, including administrative costs. And we, all, after 2 years of being self-funded, we are now at a reserve of $1.8 million of a $7.2 million budget for our premiums. The district is in a controlled and predictable environment benefiting our employees and the taxpayers in our district. Our insurance committee reviews our district data and projections on a renewal monthly basis to know what our renewal costs are for the next year. So we know month to month what those are. And it allows us to better manage our penalty and assessment risks due to the Federal Health Care Reform Act.
Sounds like you're doing a pretty good job out there.
We really work hard. We base our decisions on data and best practices in our district, and I believe that all districts in the state of Minnesota do that, and we would like to have the option to participate in PEEP or the option to be self-insured, not to opt out at this point.
Okay, next, sir.
Next, I'm the Director of Human Resources with the Prior Lake Savage Area School District. My name is Matt Mons, and I don't want to repeat what my colleague just said, but the one piece that I did want to hit was employee engagement with keeping healthcare costs down. Under a self-insured model, we're currently able to be having the conversations with employees where, for the first time, they're really looking at how they're accessing their benefits and looking at different options through the implementation of optional high deductible plans. We've seen that engagement grow, and we're looking to continue that progress. And we've seen results as our employees have been able to shop themselves and be able to become consumers and really link their health care options and actions to the premiums that are resulting in the district.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Senator Pratt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mons, Ms. Sink, you mentioned the insurance committee. Can you tell me the makeup of that committee and who sits on that?
That committee is made up of a representative body of all of our employees in the district. We have a representative from each of our employee groups, and then we have three administrators in the district serving on that committee, Ms. Sink, myself, and one principal.
Okay, Senator Pratt, and then we're going to get to Senator Dibble, if you'd like to make a couple of concluding remarks. And
thank you. And as we've heard before, administrators participate in the same plan as the teachers?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Same exact plan.
Same here.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you all for participating. Very good discussion. Senator Dibble, we'll give you a couple minutes, if that's all right, and then get six or eight amendments at the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And with one exception, I resisted jumping into correct bad information. I think in a number of instances, some of the claims were by the opponents were overstated. To be generous. Some of my technical advisors can come to the table if you want some responses, but very, very quickly, developing the reserves and on this claim that somehow we're going to be keeping dollars away from the school classroom, extremely over exaggerated, and some of the reserve claims were quite inflated. The pooling issue, I think we dealt with that, and we have folks from MMB who can help us and who administer, and the cost of administering the PEEP as well. Very, very much over exaggerated. Absolutely, we can work with, as CGIP does, as PEEP does, we can absolutely work with employee groups around utilization, around public health, around improving folks' health. There are such programs, and in some instances with some of these small schools, that simply doesn't exist now because they don't have the time or the resources to do those sorts of things. And just keep in mind, when you talk about utilization and you talk about saving expense to the school, that often comes in the form of simply loading more expense onto the employee. My niece is a kindergarten teacher in the Minneapolis public schools. She's paying $80, $85 copay. Her family premiums are north of $400. And she's not paid a ton. This is a huge, she's living with her mom, my sister, because she's not paid enough and she's got huge expenses coming out of school to be a teacher. I think, you know, the research is strong, the evidence is strong. I understand why lots of folks with vested interests are resisting this so strenuously. We can work with some of the details, the governance committee, some of those other things are details we can absolutely work with as this bill moves on. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kasokin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion that we lay the bill over, and I'll tell you why. I just don't think this bill is ready for prime time. We've seen Greater Minnesota SEIU. We've seen many, many local school boards, big and small, who I think do a good job at trying to control the costs. We heard that we have no idea what the Affordable Care Act impact is going to be on this. That's going to happen. This doesn't have to happen yet. We heard that reserve requirements will have a severe impact on local schools. I know Senator Dibble disagrees, but we've heard that. I know Senator Jensen has an amendment, that we move it from must participate to may, but we don't know that that'll remain in the end. And if that does not remain in the end, there are so many things wrong with this bill. Unlike local governments in PEEP, if it's not working for local school districts, they can't opt out in 2 years. And we heard finally that true robust competition is helping control costs. And so I don't want to ruin the system we have where the local schools have options. And I'm very concerned, Mr. Chair, that if this goes beyond here, even what we try to do here will not stay in the bill.
You're making that motion at this time.
I'd like a roll call.
There will be a roll call. I'm kind of aware of another motion to be made later, so I'm going to, at this time, personally going to vote against the Selco motion, and I leave for one. I'm probably going to support the motion I'm aware of, so that's at least my opinion. So take the roll.
Metzen?
No.
Brown?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Dahl?
No.
Doms?
Yes.
Gazelka?
Yes.
Goodwin?
No.
Housley?
Yes.
Jensen?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Pratt?
Yes.
Reinert?
No.
On a 7-5 vote, the motion does not prevail. Senator Jensen, did you have a motion at this time?
I did, Mr. Chair. I make a motion, an oral motion to change line 10 on page 4, must to may purchase help.
I'll ask the consul, he might expand a little bit on that.
Mr. Chairman, members, I think what needs to be done, page 4, line 10, you would change must to may, and then I think logically some other language in this bill would fall out if that was the case. Along with that, I believe the in the first paragraph there, we'd on line 12, everything after the word expire, that first sentence, I think would go. Lines 4:13 to 4:16 would be gone as well. Lines 4.17 to 4.25, I think, would go because there's no need for an opt out if this is a voluntary program. And I believe clause 5 on page 5 would go as well. I think logically everything else in that in this section of the bill could stay with making it a voluntary program.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Stang, could you tell me, you said clause 5 What are you referring to there on
page? On page 5, clause 5, that relates to opting out again. And if we make this bill a voluntary bill, there's no need to be discussing conditions of opt-out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I get a comment from the author of the bill?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I understand this has been the source of a lot of discussion by the committee and as well as testifiers today. I myself am not thrilled at the idea, but am interested in A, moving the bill along, B, figuring out if this, if we can work with this, create the kind of pool and the kind of savings, from a larger stable pool. That creates the kind of risk sharing as well as markets negotiating leverage. I think it's, enough folks have expressed an interest in this approach that I would support the amendment.
Well, I think that's a good point. This is the major policy committee on this kind of an issue. So, quite frankly, when it moves out of here, I would hope that the next – I think that's what Senator Kosaka is getting at, that the next group probably listens to this committee and gets some of the other stuff, I believe, is the makeup of the board and so forth and so on. So I think that's a stretch if others. So that's my opinion. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Allsweger, what is, as we've talked about this over the years, we talk about adverse selection and so forth. How do you see this playing out in terms of the actual numbers and so forth, if you could comment on that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Senator Dahl, certainly we would rather have it the version that was originally introduced. But we also need to have some quality health care for our people. When you have a voluntary situation, the people who end up leaving are those if someone gets very ill, and they have a large number of people who get very ill, catastrophic illnesses, transplants, premature births, the rates go up. And when the rates go up, then those who are well sometimes will drop off. And then that creates a sicker pool, and your rates go up even more. And then you have more people drop off because they can't afford it and they go someplace else. So when an insurance company or a service co-op go into a school district, they don't want a voluntary pool in a school district. They want everybody in. It's just a standard or principle of insurance.
Okay, we're discussing the amendment. Senator Carlson and Senator Helsley.
Mr. Chair and the author, Senator Dibble, does changing this to an opt-in, to an optional, does, first of all, does that meet what we're trying to do is to offer even the smaller districts the coverage that they sometimes need? And also, does the opting in, is that with a teacher contract, or is that something that can be an annual review?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, to your first question, that would remain to be seen. Who and how many would opt in and what their ratings experience is, et cetera. Everyone, unlike what has been claimed, everyone would be rated in a larger pool all together. So we would have to see. So I don't know the answer to that question. We fear, it might not, but we're willing to work with the idea. Second point, once you do opt in, the revocability language remains the same. It's still in the bill.
Jim.
Mr. Chair and Senator Carlson, I think the question is who would be making the decision? I mean, if it's a school board making the decision again, you have seen what's been happening. If the employees have no possibility of making that decision even jointly, maybe you want to, I guess it would be better if you said that the employees make that decision. I'm guessing the school boards and others might not support that. But if it may be viewed as only the school boards or the district making the decision,
Would that be picked up in the bargaining at all, or the school, or the teachers and the board?
Miss.
Some of that insurance issues? Maybe I'm off on this. I would think they'd be able to talk about that and bargain for it. Isn't that the answer?
Mr. Chair,
I would hope the teachers would have a say in this stuff. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a comment and then hand it over to my colleague. But we have heard here today that there are insurance companies with employee representatives and administrators and school boards. They have no authority. Our employees have no authority to make that decision about what they do. In fact, we just recently heard about a situation where the one of the testifiers was talking that the employer group, including some administrators, made a recommendation to the school board, and the school board decided what they were going to do. In the contract, you can only make decisions about the dollar amount that is going to be contributed to the employees. I'll hand it over to my colleague, Gary Westorf.
Senator Dames, before that.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Altschweiger, can you, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but I was under the impression that the bargaining unit could first request a quote from PEEP without getting the permission of the administration. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, they can switch if they so choose to, without getting permission in administration if they give a 30-day notice. Is that incorrect?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dames, I may have been incorrect when I answered that. I'll turn it over to my colleague, Gary Westorf.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
You know, I think it's very important, though, that we get the correct information out there, because this is very important. This is a big issue for a lot of our school boards, and we've heard a lot of people that I feel have some real good basis to be here, and I think they have the best interest of being educators and giving our children the best education they can and making sure they use the dollars the best we can. So I really hope that we can get the facts on the table here and know where we're at.
I agree, Senator Dames.
Thank you.
Good. Did you make a quick comment?
Mr. Chair, Senators, the only experience I've had with this PEEP is I've been working with this since 1989 when the first statute was put in place trying to create larger pools. What I've noticed over this time period is our bargaining units and our employers do bargain over plan design and premiums. But what happens is the service co-ops come in and they give you the only options they make available. The insurance committees at the service co-ops are made up of school district management and school board members. They do have let a few of our exclusive bargaining agents be on the advisory committee, but once the decisions are made and what's going to happen, they are no longer part of that decision-making process.
All right, we're going to stick to the amendment. Senator Housley, did you have a comment on the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just making sure that when a district does opt in, are they free to opt out?
Not yet.
So if they opt in, they... Our
Mr. Chairman, members, the Senator Jensen motion would leave in now the irrevocability of the election.
I have an amendment.
Okay, we're going to deal with the Jensen amendment. Secretary.
Mr. Chair.
Take the roll. Senator Dahl.
I just want to be sure what the author is hoping that will happen here to see that this bill moves on, but I want to defer to your
vocal.
How you would like to see this vote take place. I certainly can vote my own conscience, but I do want to be respectful of your bill and what you intend to do.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like a yes vote.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like a roll call on this.
There would be a roll call on the Jensen motion.
Metzen.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Carlson.
Yes.
Dahl.
Yes.
Dames.
Yes.
Gazelka.
Yes.
Goodwin.
Yes.
Housley.
Yes.
Jensen.
Yes.
Pappas.
Yes.
Pratt.
Yes.
Reiner.
Yes.
In 12 ayes and zero nays, the amendment is adopted. Senator Kosalka.
I've got the A7 amendment, Mr. Chair, to deal with the irrevocable clause. Mr. Chair, in a nutshell.
You can explain the amendment.
Yeah, thank you. In a nutshell, it says school employers entering the program may elect to leave it on a mutual decision of the school board and exclusive representatives of the employees of that school board 2 years after the initial date of entry into the program and every 2 years thereafter. Mr. Chair, that makes it exactly the same as local governments that have that option.
Quick comment, Senator Dibble, on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would resist this amendment, Mr. Chair and members. Again, we can get into the dynamics of adverse selection. I think with the opt-in provision that we just, which we I think we perhaps can work with. We'll see what kind of pool we can establish. But Mr. Chair and members, this would. This would knock a significant leg out from underneath what we're trying to accomplish with this bill and create, not create that larger pool that's stable and reliable on an ongoing basis and would create that dynamic of adverse selection or exacerbate it.
Just short. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Senator Dibble, I think it may actually do the opposite if local school districts are weighing out their options and want to go in, but they see a clause that says there's no way they can get out, that may prevent them from doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All those in favor?
Roll call.
Okay, though. Secretary will take the roll on the Kosalka motion.
Mattson.
No.
Brown.
Yes.
Carlson.
No.
Dahl.
No.
James.
Yes.
Kosalka.
Yes.
Goodwin.
No.
Housley.
Yes.
Jensen.
No.
Pappas.
No.
Pratt.
Yes.
Reiner.
No.
On a 7-5 vote, the amendment is not adopted. Further amendments?
Mr. Chair?
Further, Senator Brown, is it? Or?
Well, he can go first.
Oh, Senator Dames.
I have the A1 amendment.
Secretary, will report the.
And that would remove on page 5, it removes the language, delete line 7 to 19, and then delete section 5. And that is in relationship to the reserves. And if we're going to have the option to opt in, it wouldn't be fair then to be taking all the reserves. So this would delete that language so that everybody would be treated fairly.
You wish to look at that for a second there, Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, I'll ask my experts to respond, but very quickly, the reserves are my question would be, what would otherwise happen with the reserves? The reserves are there because of the effort of those who pay those insurance premiums. And so it's appropriate there to be an effort to figure out what to do with those reserves.
Mr. Chair.
Negotiation. Right now, Mr. Chair and members, as things currently exist, oftentimes tremendous reserves get built up. There are even sometimes rebates paid because, for whatever reason, a lower experience than was anticipated. And no one really has a handle on even what happens today with some of those extra dollars, much of which is paid with the money of the employees. So, Paragraph 6 allows for there to be a conversation, negotiation about what to do with those reserves.
Senator Dames.
I'd like to respond to that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the people not being required to opt in, we're still going to have several school districts that are going to be in other programs. Some of these other programs such as a co-op, have these reserves. And I don't think it's fair to the school districts that don't opt in to lose those reserves. That's just not right. It's not fair.
Mr. Chair, that won't necessarily happen. This is subject to negotiation.
Senator Dames.
No comment.
Sir, you want a quick comment?
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman and members, Sam Walsh with the Service Cooperatives. As Senator Dibble said, some of this is in Clause 6 is subject to a negotiation, but not in Clause 7. That's just a taking of Service Cooperative reserves. There's no negotiation there. Those reserves are governed by joint powers contracts, and this is just an overtaking of what is already in place between hundreds of local units of government. We think if districts want to, and their bargaining units want to go into this program, they should be able to find the, you know, do that on their own without taking a cooperative reserve.
You agree with, obviously, the amendment?
Yes. We do support the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the AE1 amendment?
Roll call.
Roll call. I'm asked for the roll call.
Mattson.
Yes.
Brown.
No.
Carlson.
Yes. No, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I think Senator Brown.
So you used to voting the opposite of used chairman. Then.
I thought I was phenomenally persuasive,
Senator
Mr.
Brown,
Chair.
You don't quite know me that well, do you? I say yes, and you automatically have to say no.
They're on a may. Yes.
All right. Try it again. Mattson, yes. Who's next?
Brown.
Yes.
Attaboy.
Carlson.
No.
Dahl.
No.
Doms.
Yes.
Zalka.
Yes.
Goodwin.
No.
Housley.
Yes.
Jensen.
No.
Latz. Pappas.
No. No.
Pratt.
Yes.
Reiner.
Yes.
On a 7-5 vote, the amendment does prevail. Further amendments?
Oh, come on.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A9 amendment.
In the interest of time, Senator Brown, you could start explaining it as we pass it out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The E9 amendment would change the composition of the committee so that all 7 of the school employer appointments are made by the Minnesota School Board Association, and the other 7 would be divvied up between the bargaining units, the Elementary School Principals Association, Secondary School Principals Association, and school administrators. A roll call.
Senator Dibble.
One moment, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I would resist this amendment. I've indicated previously that I'm open and willing to talk about the composition of this, the complaints that we heard earlier from at least the School Boards Association and others is that it was all, quote, and, it was 4 employers, and then the rest employees, construing what I view to be management folks as employees. So I disagree with that characterization. And I do think it's important that management folks, whether they be the business managers or superintendents or principals, they should be represented on the board. But perhaps the school board, as an employer, could appoint those folks. But we should definitely have equal representation from classically employees, school personnel, and this would simply put those folks in an extreme minority position. So, I'd love to work with Senator Brown on the composition and who the appointing authorities are. But I think this tilts it fairly dramatically in the wrong direction.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know we're short of time here, but I just wanted to say this would be one of the rare and almost unheard of times that we would put legal power into an association versus a group that, you know, of the supervisors or administrators or whatever that can decide. So now it's in the hands of an association that only represents the school board, doesn't represent the superintendents, doesn't represent any of the other administrative staff. The school board is very, very part-time, and it would be very difficult to determine who's going to get appointed to this. So I would oppose this amendment. It also tilts the scale exactly the opposite way of what you're complaining about now. So it's not well drafted, and I do believe that we have better options than this if Senator Dibble is willing to work on this issue with you.
Senator Pratt on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think to Senator Goodwin's point, I don't think it's unprecedented. What we don't have in the current board is representation of the people who were elected by their local communities to serve and make these decisions. And the Minnesota School Boards Association represents all of those boards, represents those elected officials, and they need to have a voice because they're ultimately responsible for the financial standing, the financial health of their districts. And so I would support the amendment.
Senator Deems.
No, Mr. Chair, thank you. Senator Goodwin, if you look on page 3, line 3.4, it states that one of the persons could be elected from the Minnesota School Employees Association. So if you're against associations, then would you be not voting against the bill then?
Mr. Chair, Senator Deems, you're right. You're right. It shouldn't be, that one also should not apply to an association.
There's a couple of options. We can vote this up or down, or the author of the bill said he wants to talk and cooperate and try to fix it up if you can. Otherwise, it goes to state and local governments where they have jurisdiction over. No, we can work on it here, obviously, too. You know, that's what we're doing. But if it doesn't get done here, the next stop will certainly always look at the makeup of these boards and commissions and what have you. So I think that's Senator Pappas's committee. But anyway.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Brown, would you? Yes.
I mean, we can work on it here. As I've said now several times in this hearing, I'm absolutely willing to work on the composition of this board at its next stop, where they have appropriate jurisdiction. I think this amendment doesn't get there, though.
Senator Brown, would you be willing to move this forward and have further discussion with the author, or you want to pursue this? We can do it. You know, that's what this committee's for. I mean, we can certainly, you know. Why don't we respect the author's notion here that he will look at and review the makeup of this committee and come back with hopefully something agreeable. If not, then work on the votes at the next step. That's what I would suggest. Okay. Would that be all right, Senator Brown, at this time?
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Withdraw the motion, A9, statement. Any further? Senator Pratt, did you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A5 amendment.
Okay. In the interest of time, even though we don't have it in front of us, you can
I'd be happy to describe
talk it. About it.
The A5 amendment deletes the new language on page 2, lines 3 through 4, that talk about the hold on. I've got to change pages here. And it talks about the employee representatives and its state affiliate. To me, that seems to indicate that Education Minnesota employees as affiliates and representatives of the teachers would then also be admitted into PEEP. And I can't think of another time when we'd have private employees be part of a government program.
How do you, Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, we have a variety of different employer types that are participate in PEEP and or CGIP, but Mr. Westorf can.
Part of our rationale for putting that in there is that we wanted to demonstrate that what is good for our members is good for the employees that represent those members. We believe that the Public Employee Insurance Program is a viable and very good insurance program, and that's the reason we put that in there. We have colleagues in our interfaculty organization that represent state employees under the four-year colleges that are part of CGIP, and they are a private entity as well.
Okay. Senator Dames, did you want to
Mr. Chair, just to voice my opinion, this I'm getting a little bit concerned because the union is a private entity. And if we're going to start allowing private entities into PEEP, then we're going to be opening it up to a much broader scope. And it just seems to me this is the camel getting its nose under the tent. Therefore, I won't be supporting the amendment.
You will be supporting it.
Yes, I will be supporting it.
You're sitting next to Brown. Okay, Senator Dibble, did you wish
to? Well, Mr. Chair, I'll just say that, I think it speaks to, as Mr. Westorf said, the confidence that the representatives of the employees have in the program and the plans within the program. I think, both within CGIP and PEEP, we have a variety of employer types. You know, some are quasi-public and others are fully public. So, if there's been a camel's nose, it's already under the tent. But, I think that's an overstatement. It's not like we're going to be opening up
under the camel's nose under the 10th
yeah,
Amendment.
Yeah. frankly, Mr. Chair.
All those in
favor,
opposed?
No.
We didn't have a roll call.
Motion does not prevail. Further amendments? Further discussion?
Roll call on the final vote.
There will be a roll call, and this bill will be, if passed, will go to the, I believe, the State and Local Government Affairs Committee. As amended. Secretary will
May
take
a motion.
Yeah, Senator Pappas moves.
Motion.
We're getting pretty technical on me here. We need motions.
We need motions. I'll move as amended.
Okay. Is that a motion? Yes, okay. As amended, roll call has been called for. There will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll.
Metzen.
Yes.
Brown.
No.
Carlson.
Yes.
Dahl.
Yes.
Dames.
No.
Gazelka.
No.
Goodwin.
Yes.
Housley.
No.
Jensen.
Yes.
Pappas.
Yes.
Pratt.
No.
Reinert.
Yes.
Okay, on a vote of 7-5, the motion to pass is approved, and the bill will be sent to the State and Local Government Affairs Committee. Thank you, everybody, for your indulgence.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A lot of hard work put into this. Say, one more point. 12:30, note to change Wednesday. We have a number of fraud bills that deal with senior citizens and other issues that are very important, I think, to the public. And so 12:30, and try to be on time.